Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Choice Baptist Church, for this opportunity again for us to be with you. Yes, it wasn't too long ago that we were here, and it wasn't our plan to be in the States. It's just that some things have taken place in Nicaragua since the 19th of April that actually forced us to leave the country. You don't hear much about it here on the news for a couple of reasons. But the country is in now civil war, and it's complete anarchy there. The president, the people want the president out of power. For those of you that may remember what took place in 1979 and 80 in Nicaragua when they had the overthrow of the Somoza government, and Daniel Ortega became the president at that time. And he was in power for roughly 12, 16 years, and then he said, okay, we'll have free elections like you guys are demanding. Well, he didn't think he would get voted out, but he did. And he lost the presidency. So he went kind of covert and underground, so to speak. And in 2006, he won the election and became president again. And from that moment on, he has been slowly building a dictatorship. He has made it so that he cannot ever get voted out of power. He rewrote the Constitution of Nicaragua and has made it so that no matter, even if they do have free elections and they have the watchdogs of the world to keep an eye on what's going on there politically, he's worked it so that he can never get voted out. This last election in 2016, he named his wife as vice president. His children hold the highest positions of the ministry, cabinet positions of the land, and his entire Congress is his political party, the Sandinistas. So he's built himself a dynasty. And in doing so, he has taken a lot of liberties, one of which the government has embezzled, robbed is the more appropriate term, $500 million from the country's Social Security pension fund. And to try to cover their tracks with his all-Sandinistan Congress, they passed a reform which stated that if you're going to be or to qualify for Social Security, you're going to have to work longer now. You're also, each month, once you qualify and once you're able to draw your monthly check, you're going to get less than what it was before. And then, on top of all that, you'll have to pay back 5% to the government of what you receive every month, okay? So every month, you pay back 5% of what you receive, okay? Therefore, when you start doing the math, okay, most of the people there, they get about $100, maybe a little bit more a month from their Social Security and pension. That's it. And for many of them, that's all they have to live on. Okay. Well, when this reform passed, protests started taking place. And because it was protest against the government, Daniel Ortega used his police, riot police, and paramilitaries to try to, we'll put in quotations here, control the situation. But his means of controlling the situation was this. He told them, police, the riot police and the paramilitaries, not to try to maintain order, but to just shoot the people. And that's what they did. You have college students and other people that were killed in cold blood, either through sniper fire or through AK-47s, and submachine guns, and all they had to fight back with were rocks. Because the second thing he did when he took power again in 2006 was that he made it illegal for citizens to own any kind of firearm. Only the police and military were the ones that were issued and were able to maintain firearms. So now you have protesters, valiant, with a lot of honor, a lot of dedication, standing up against police, riot police, paramilitaries that have AK-47s, submachine guns. And at one riot, he had snipers posted at certain locations and just was picking people off. They've stayed true to wanting to get him out of power, but it's not going to be just him signing a piece of paper and say, I resign. Because it's going to have to be a complete clean wash of the whole system politically. You say, how did that affect you all? Well, here's the way it affected us. Our little town, 30 minutes outside of Managua, 30,000 people, you think, oh, it's not going to affect them that badly. Well, they did have their riots. They did have their protests in our little town, and people were getting killed in our little town. But the thing that motivated us and moved us to start considering the need of considering leaving was that one block away from where we live, the Sandinistas broke into this man's house, killed him right there in his house simply because he was the opposite political party. Now, it had nothing to do with the protests, had nothing to do with anything that was going on, just the fact that he was a liberal, not a Sandinista. They break into his house and they kill him right there. And being the only North Americans in town, we said, if it's rising to that level of where they're now targeting people because of their political affiliation or whatever, we felt that it would be easy for us to be a target also. And then when we got word that the liberales, the people that were protesting, were in negotiations with anybody that would listen to them to provide arms for them, we knew then that it was going to come into a full-scale conflict, and it was best for us to leave. The whole country is under siege, and right now, even if we were to go back tomorrow to Nicaragua, we couldn't get home because Managua is sealed off. There's roadblocks. Even on the road where we live, there are roadblocks, and they're only allowing emergency vehicles to get through. Grocery stores now are getting empty. The people are starting to suffer through the lack of work because one of the factories that is maybe 10 miles or less from where we live, a lot of people in Matiari work there. The riot police, for no reason at all, just broke into there while people were working and just starts beating up people. So they closed down the factory. People now, they don't have any work. Resources are getting scarce. And even if we were to go back tomorrow, we couldn't get home. So I ask that you pray for Nicaragua. I ask that you would pray that God will intervene. We want to be there. We wish we were there. But it's not prudent for us to be there right now. So pray for the people there. Pray for the believers there. Pray for the country itself. And I ask that you would also pray that God will make it so we can get back quickly. Our hearts are there and we want to be there. But we ask that you would join us in prayer that God will open the door so we'll be back there quickly. If we could, we'd leave tomorrow. But the way things are, the way things are even continue to develop, and I don't have time to elaborate, we don't know exactly when we'll be able to go back. But God is still in control. Amen? We still have the one who is sovereign of all things. We still worship the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as I explained to the people in Nicaragua before leaving, none of this took God by surprise. The Lord in heaven did not sit there on his throne and say, whoa, what happened here? No. And as I also told them, this would not have taken place if God did not permit it to happen. He is that much in control. And when we look at Colossians 1:17, where it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, it's not only talking about the fact that Jesus holds all of creation together, but he is in control of all things that take place. And we as believers have to confide in that. We have to have the faith to trust that. And we do not have to worry what's going to happen. We just have to be prudent and seek the Lord's direction and wisdom of what the next step is and what where we should go. Follow his leading, and as Jesus said in John 1 and in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. You won't walk in obscurity, you will not walk in uncertainty, but you will have the light of life. Amen. Well, again, we are so thankful to be here. Thank you for welcoming us back. And Brother Tim, it's just an honor for us. We truly appreciate it. I truly enjoyed the time of worship and singing. That's dear to my heart as being a worship pastor there at Battlefield for nearly 20 years. It's truly dear to my heart, the worship time. Pastor Tim asked me to speak on a topic that for a lot of churches, when you mention it, you can see the congregation just all of a sudden change their demeanor. You can see face change. You can see the body tense up a little bit. You can see some looking at their watch. You can start some whispering and such, okay? And that is on giving. So go ahead and get it out of the way. If you're going to tense up or if you're going to, you know, start checking your watch and see how long this is going to go, okay? All right? Start grabbing back there with your wallet or the purse there, okay? But he's asked me to do this, to speak on giving this morning, but I'm asking you to give God your attention. I'll say that again. I'm asking you to give God your attention. I'm just the messenger here. I do not consider myself anyone special, but just a person that God has revealed through his word to be able to share with you this morning what God's laid on my heart on this subject of giving. Because throughout the years, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of books written, a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching on the subject of giving. Many who have tried to say, well, tithing is an Old Testament teaching, Old Testament doctrine. It's not in the New Testament. Or today it's better to call it grace giving. Others call it proportional giving. But it doesn't really matter what you call it. If you call it the tithe, if you call it faith promise, if you call it grace giving, or if you call it proportional giving, it doesn't matter what you call it. The purpose or the foundation of it all is what we're going to find in our text today in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. This is the foundation. This is the question you need to ask yourself this morning. This is the evaluation or the measuring stick by which you yourself need to use when it comes to giving, as well as anything else in our service for the Lord. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're serving here with the musicians, okay, the praise team. Ask yourself, are you doing it for this reason? It doesn't matter if you serve in children's ministry or if you're going to help with the fusion or if you're going to Romania. Ask yourself, am I doing it for this reason? Is this the real purpose why I am doing this? And many times, if we're honest, we say no. Because we lose sight of what God, through Moses, told the children of Israel through these verses. It says here in the scripture, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bring forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy grain and of thy wine and thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we come to this moment, this morning, now to hear from your word, oh, what a wonderful and great time we had in singing psalms and praises to your name. To bless your name. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. The name by which one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to your glory, O God. Whether it's creatures in heaven, creatures on the earth, or under the earth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, today we ask that as we are now at this moment to hear from your word, I pray that, Father, our hearts will be open to receive your word. Our minds will be open to give us understanding of your word. And I ask today, Lord, that we would set aside anything that would cause an obstruction, an obstacle from receiving your word. Whether it's a preoccupation or a care in our life that seems to have priority in our thinking, help us to set that aside and help us to focus in on what God, your word, says today. And Lord, I ask that you would give me the words to say and the strength and your power to do so, because I do not want to do this in my own strength or power, nor in my own wisdom, but Father, that you would work and speak through me. And Father, I pray that you would move in hearts today. And I trust, Lord, that as your word goes forth, it will find the good soil in the hearts of the people present, so it will take root, so that when we leave here today, we will be doers of your word and not just hearers only. And we leave the results in your hands, as we know your word will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. And what we want to concentrate briefly this morning is the last phrase of verse 23, where it says, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Now, in the Spanish translation, that word always is actually por todos los días, or for all your days. That you may learn to fear the Lord. You may learn to reverence the Lord. You may learn to respect the Lord. That you may learn to honor the Lord all your days. Through what? Through giving, through serving, through worship. But more specifically today, about giving. And as I said earlier, this is the measuring stick. This is the benchmark, so to speak, by which you and I need to ask and measure our motive of why do we give? Am I giving so that I may continue to learn to fear the Lord? Or am I doing so because I feel obligated because someone up here says, you need to do this? Because when you look at it in this light, what the scripture is stating here, it's not based upon your economic status. It's not based upon your position in society. It's not based on whether you think you work a good job or not. It's based upon, are you wanting to learn to continue or learn to fear the Lord? It's not just a one-time thing. It's a continuation. It's a daily process that you learn to fear, reverence, respect, honor the Lord. And this was the principle that I felt very strongly to teach the people in Matiare. Because you see, in Nicaragua, for so many years, they have convinced themselves that they're poor. And they are a poor country. In fact, they're the second poorest country of all Central America. Okay? As I stated earlier, their Social Security pension, they receive a little bit more than $100 a month. And that's what many of them live on from month to month. Okay? True, they don't have some of the same expenses there as you do here. But still, $100 is $100, isn't it? Okay? So they've convinced themselves that they are a poor people. And when it came time to teach about stewardship and about giving in the church, the immediate reaction was, oh, we're poor. We're poor. And God revealed this verse to me, and especially the last part where it says that thou mayest, or that you may learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Therefore, it removes your economic status. It removes what you may think it may need to be called. Okay? It removes any argument about whether it's Old Testament or New Testament teaching. It removes everything and boils it down to the basic thought and principle: are you learning to fear God through your giving? I'm reminded of when we were in Honduras as missionaries. And we lived in an area of the poor of the poor, okay? And I'll try to keep this brief in this illustration, but I want you to grasp something here, okay? We lived in the mountainous area of Honduras, and for many people, what they lived on or what their income for the next year was based upon their sale of their coffee. Coffee grows very well in the mountainous regions, okay? And for some of them, some of those families there, their only source of income for a year was based upon the sale of their coffee. And I remember some of those years where the price of coffee just bottomed out. And some of those families, all they got for an entire year, not for 1 month, now listen carefully, not 1 month, but for the entire year, to live on was $350. $350. Now, if anybody had an excuse or a reason to justify not giving because they need every penny to live on, they could say so. But folks, I'm here to testify to you this morning. Those dear believers in the church that received that much for the entire year still gave to God. Still gave to the Lord. Why? Because they understood what Moses told Israel, that God told Moses, that you may learn to fear the Lord all your days. And I want to present this challenge to you today, Choice Baptist. Set aside any kind of excuse or any kind of previous reading, teaching that you've heard about whether you should give or not give, whether tithing is Old Testament or not Old Testament, or it's biblical throughout the whole Bible, or whether it's grace giving or proportional giving or devotional giving, whatever term you put that all aside and ask yourself the question, when I give today, am I going to do so that I may learn to fear the Lord? Or am I going to hold back because mathematically or in my heart, I think it just can't be done. Are you going to learn to fear the Lord? And when you look at it in that light, in that perspective, as the basis and the foundation of it, then you're brought to a point of decision. And that decision is this. How am I going then to learn to fear the Lord through giving of this gift? I know God wants me to do this much, but my flesh resists that. My flesh says there's no way possible. My flesh says don't do it. But God's word and His Spirit says trust me. God's word and His Spirit say learn through this to honor me, to revere me. Because you see, once we start looking at it in those terms, then we can also then understand this illustration too. You see, many things that we read in the scripture, we can apply it to something that happened in the past, that which we can't necessarily relate to today. But should we have lived 500 years ago, we would be able to understand it. And it's this. And even the days of Israel when they had the kings, but we'll just go back 500 years, when people in certain countries of the world did have kings and royalty. Okay? Those people that served as royalty, the kings and the queens, they had everything their hearts could ask for, didn't they? Well, let's even look at it this way. Did Solomon, King Solomon, lack anything? Did Solomon lack anything, materialistically speaking? No. Okay? But there were people of his kingdom, as there were 500 years ago, people of other kingdoms, that when asked, they gave to the king. Some did it grudgingly, out of obligation. But others did it because they revered and honored their king. how are you going to give today? Are you going to do so out of obligation? Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go there in just a minute, to the church there at Corinth, he said, we're not asking you to do this out of obligation. But every man give as God hath provided. Are you going to give today out of obligation, or are you going to do as the people, as mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there real quick. The church at Macedonia. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Where it says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. How do you do this? How do you give so that you may learn to fear the Lord? The first step is you have to give yourself to God. You've got to put your hand, your everything in His hands. You have to give yourself to God. The people there at Macedonia, they were the poor of the poor also in Paul's day. In fact, they were so poor that the Roman Empire did not tax them. That had to be pretty poor, didn't it? Because Rome, they sucked money everywhere they could get it. Okay? But Rome didn't tax these people because they were so poor. Yet they gave out of the abundance of their poverty, as Paul says in this chapter. The question I ask you then is this: have you given yourself to God so that He can use you, so that you can then learn to fear the Lord all your days? You say, you don't understand my situation, and I probably don't, but it's not me who needs to understand your situation. It's God who already knows your situation. And as we say, Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Okay, so God, really, He doesn't need your money, but the work does. The ministry does. The people going to Romania, they do. So are you going to give so that you may learn to fear the Lord? Then if you haven't done so, give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. And I speak to believers this morning. Entrust yourselves to God to be able to direct your steps, direct your path. Entrust yourself to God to be able to give you the wisdom on what to give and how much. But it starts with giving your all to Him. Many years ago, there was a church that was trying to raise funds for missions. And the pastor, he once again got up and he said, okay, we're going to pass the offering plate for you to give to missions this morning. Please give out of the abundance of your heart. Please give beyond what you feel like you can. And these are all terms that many times pastors will use to try to get you as a congregation motivated to give. But there was one young lady seated in the congregation had nothing. She had no money, and she felt like, what can I do? And as they started passing the plate, she wanted to give. She couldn't. She had no money. And then all of a sudden it hit her. When the plate came by, she asked the usher to lower the plate. So he did, thinking that she needed it lower for her to be able to put her money in. And she goes, no, 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 lower the plate. So he goes even lower. She goes, no, put it on the floor. And she takes herself and she steps into the offering plate. She says, I give myself to God. And that's where it has to start with all of us. If you're going to give in a way that you learn to fear the Lord, on a constant basis, on a continual basis, you have to give yourself first. And then you have to do, as this last verse, the last part of this verse say in verse 5, and unto us by the will of God. By giving yourself completely to God, so that you can learn to fear the Lord, so you can learn to reverence the Lord and revere the Lord and honor the Lord in all that you do, then you do so by His will also, and you'll always do the right thing. You'll always give the right amount. Will it always be the same amount? No, not necessarily. But it will be that which God wants for that moment. Church, how do you give? Have you considered that by giving, that it's an act of worship? But have you, even more basic, considered that when you give, this is your way of learning to fear the Lord and to trust fully in Him no matter what He lays on your heart, because you've given yourself to Him and now you're giving by His will, that He will take care of you? Are you giving to learn to fear the Lord? Let's bow our heads. I ask today that you search your heart right now. Don't consider anything but what I've repeated so many times this morning. Are you doing so that you may learn to fear the Lord? This removes all the arguments. This removes all the discussions. Because if you're not doing it to fear the Lord, then your motive is wrong from the beginning. If you're not doing it so that you can continue to learn to fear God, then your motive is wrong. You say, but tithing is obedient giving. That's true. But obedience starts with wanting to revere and honor God. Faith promises extra. It's above the tithe. That's true. But it's that which starts with fearing and reverencing God. Any other offering is given. That I do to help the ministry. That's great. But it should be done so that you can continue to learn to fear God. What is your heart today?